Welcome to Manager Tools. Meeting distractions. Don't wait to give feedback. Here we go. This cast answers these questions. What do I do when someone is on their phone or laptop in a meeting? What do I do if someone doesn't follow meeting ground rules? Do I have to wait to give feedback until after a meeting? Well, if you want to answer these questions more, keep listening.
Finally, after years of waiting, The Effective Manager in book form is available at Amazon and Barnes & Noble and your other retail booksellers, as well as signed copies are available on our website, manager-tools.com. If you want to know the basics of how to manage others effectively in book format, including Kindle and ebook format as well, we encourage you to buy, read, and then implement the guidance in The Effective Manager.
Okay, Mark, I have a question for you, and it has to do with feedback and the timing of feedback and all that. But let's say I'm in a meeting and somebody's engaging in some ineffective meeting behaviors. They're on their laptop or they're on their phone or they're doing something that's counterproductive to the effectiveness of the meeting. I know I want to give them feedback at some point, but I've got the problem now, right? Yeah. I can't stop the meeting, pull them outside, give them feedback, and then continue on. But I've got a 45-minute meeting that is being kind of hijacked at this point, and I need to do something now. So what do I do? That's a hard one.
So since this cast is called Medieval Tools, we're just going to chop off their heads, and we'll be good.
That would be my old management style.
Yeah, exactly. And that worked for us for a little while.
Yeah, and then it didn't.
Yeah, so you can't give feedback. And people ask me this question all the time in the field, Mike, because they're like, okay, everything's feedback. I'm like, well, not everything is feedback. Well, what do? I can't give feedback in this situation or this situation. I said, well, okay, that's not the tool you would use. And in this case, what you would do is you just address things quickly and politely is really what it boils down to. It works a lot better if you have ground rules, of course, but you don't have to wait. You need to say something, say it quickly, and then move on. And ground rules help enormously, but you can do this without ground rules. You can simply mention something to somebody, call them by name, suggest what they're doing, and it'll stop. And I got to tell you, I think it's a weakness of my role, and I think by extension, therefore, your role, that we see it so much as what can management do? And I think a lot of managers, not knowing that there are rights and wrongs, or not knowing that there are better ways to do things, always feel like they're handcuffed. Well, I can't do this because it might hurt their feelings, or I can't do that because it might do this. Well, okay, there's always negatives associated with any behavior. You know, what does your gut tell you to do? Well, my gut tells me I should probably say something. Well, then you should probably say something. And look, we've got some simple guidance, 5 simple points to keep in mind. We're going to cover with specific examples what to do. First one is we're going to reinforce the idea of meeting ground rules. We recommend you use meeting ground rules. It's from our Effective Meetings Get Out of Jail cast from, Mike, I think it's 11 years ago now, right?
Yep.
Sometime in August. We want to address the behaviors quickly. We want to address the behaviors politely. We don't want to interrupt the meeting. And if you want, you can give feedback later too, to drive home the point or to address something else, particularly if somebody pushes back a little bit in the meeting when they've already distracted everybody else or disrupted the meeting in some way. So really simple stuff.
I'm glad you mentioned ground rules and the importance of ground rules, because of course, if you have a set of ground rules, you can short circuit a lot of this stuff, right? You just never get there by having ground rules. And even if it doesn't short circuit, there are some advantages to having ground rules when you go to address it. So tell us about that.
Yeah, ground rules will eliminate the vast majority of these problems. We've covered how to do ground rules before. We both talk about them in detail in the Effective Meetings cast, but we also have how to introduce them, how to create them by doing it collaboratively. If you're ever thinking, I'm going to redo my staff meeting or I'm going to start doing my staff meeting, you can establish ground rules. If you haven't been having a staff meeting, you could absolutely have your first staff meeting be nothing more than an announcement about future staff meetings and a working through of agendas and ground rules and so on, and turn it into a this is how we're going to behave going forward. And I don't care what people tell me. There is nothing about millennials or technology or young people or anything else that allows us to say, well, meetings are for collaborative time, so therefore it should be a little bit unruly. No, it shouldn't. I'll never forget, we were on Wall Street shortly after the crisis in 2008, and we went into a meeting, and it may have just been me, and we had senior people, managing directors of one of the top five investment banks in the world, in the heart of the problem. And they all threw their BlackBerries. Yeah,
the punch bowl thing, right?
Phones, remember that. The fruit bowl, yeah. They put them right in the bowl, and they all buzzed, and they ignored them. And they had an agenda. And you think, well, these people are, they're executives. They can get away with not, you know, they're just collaborating and shooting the bull. No, they're so busy. They know they have to have an agenda, and they stick to the agenda. And they know that they could spend 10 hours on a topic, but they don't have 10 hours to spend on every topic that they could spend 10 hours on. And so they spend 30 minutes, and 5 minutes before the end, they say, it's about time to wrap up. What are we going to do? Because you can't keep seeking perfection and then inevitably delaying deadlines and so on. So we've covered how to introduce them and so on, got ground rules and other guidance. If you don't know what ground rules are off the top of your head, there are some standard ones in well-run meetings all over the world. Start on time. Duh. finish on time. And by the way, start on time is my favorite simply because I always ask, hey, how do you start on time? Well, I don't know. Maybe you publish an agenda. Maybe you... No. What you do is you're in the room and you say, okay, we're starting at exactly the starting time you said you were going to start on. Believe me, it will take a week or two and everybody will start showing up on time. So start on time, finish on time.
Of course, if you finish on time, it's useful to help the next person who has a meeting
start on time. Right? Oh, and heck, and then you start, when you start doing that and you start thinking about organizational implications of ground rules, then you say, okay, agendas are a ground rule and I've got organizational responsibilities outside of my meeting. Suddenly my hour-long meeting is 45 minutes
That's
or 50
right.
minutes. Yeah. In fact, we have a podcast about the 45-minute meeting.
Go figure.
So, start on time.
How did that
finish
happen?
On time. Stick to the agenda. One at a time, meaning only one person talking at a time. Therefore, no interruptions, no sidebars, no phones, no laptops. Use a parking lot, take notes, and so on.
And some of you, I'm sure, reacted to the whole idea, one at a time talking, since I was talking over Mark, and
no sidebars,
which we do all the time. So let's just be clear. This is a podcast. It's not a meeting. So don't hold me to that.
No. We don't do sidebars. We do tangents.
Oh, that's right.
Sometimes
that's
I go down rabbit trails, and probably 80% of the comments I get now about addressing another topic are positive. There's always 20% who say, Mark talks too much. And my response is, there are other podcasts you can listen to about management. Oh, wait, no, there aren't. So a sidebar is Manager Tools is in a meeting. Mike and I and Wendy and Danny and Maggie and Tracy and Judy and Kate and Sarah and so on and Paul and I'm talking about something, budget maybe.
Right. And Tracy and I are on the side talking about
Tracy
some finance
and
thing.
Mike,
right.
Exactly, are on the side whispering to one another. That's a sidebar. And they happen all the time in meetings. The big ones, in my opinion, lately, of course, are phones and laptops. But look, here's the point. If you're having those kinds of behaviors, a management theorist, a management scientist would say, you haven't set expectations. You've essentially allowed that because it's not clear what you expect. And ground rules, in that meetings are so expensive, ground rules serve as a form of meeting police. Once you put some ground rules in place, and you have to be willing to say something when people get outside the ground rules, and it will take a couple of meetings for people to unlearn their bad behaviors because they perhaps didn't know they were bad behaviors. Once they're in place, you don't have to be the enforcer all the time. Just having people collaborate on them for 15 minutes and having agreed to them will cut down noticeably on behaviors that you find annoying and frustrating. Even better is that when you do have to say something to somebody who's not following the ground rules or is just out of line, you're really not seen as an enforcer of some capricious rules because you're in a bad mood or you don't like that person.
Right. It's not those rules don't come from from power of running the meeting, right?
Yeah, exactly. Because
the rules are agreed upon, right? So now you're just asking somebody to adhere to their commitments.
Yeah. In fact, one of the ground rules we often use is everybody's facilitator. So if, in fact, we're running late or somebody's interrupting, if the meeting facilitator, who may not be the meeting leader, doesn't address the issue, anyone in the meeting can say, hey, guys, can you hold it down? Hey, can you get off your phone? And so on. That's part of the deal. In the same way that if we were having a meeting about budget planning and somebody felt that some of the raw data were wrong, they would be expected to speak up. If someone felt that the plan was going to risk the reputation of a brand, they would be expected in a meeting to speak up and say, I have a concern here. Now, that concern may be noted and overruled, but you would be expected to speak up. And so you don't have to be the leader or the facilitator. And for many of you listening right now, you think the leader and facilitator role are identical and they're not. It can be your staff meeting and someone else can run it for you. By the way, that's one of the greatest transitions you'll ever make to delegate running your meetings. And we have a podcast about delegating running your meetings and how great it is to no longer be responsible for running the meeting and dealing with content, trying to share content. And then in addition, trying to learn and see how your people are doing. Three things like that are really hard to do in a meeting.
I guess after about 800 podcasts, I guess we have something or just about everything.
Is it 800? I thought it was closer to 1,000. It's been 11 years times 50 weeks, roughly a year, right? Times two podcasts. No, I guess Career Tools started a couple of years after, right? A year or two after.
I could go back and count, but yeah. I just can't count that high.
Imagine 800 and then 400 hours of us. That's just bizarro.
Yeah, and our biggest fans, you guys are sick people, sick.
Yeah, we're on the record. There's no question we're on the record. So look, you're not seen as the enforcer. Ground rules make expectations clear, and when expectations are clear, there's less pushback, there's less drama, there's less conflict. So to be clear, what kind of behaviors are we talking about? Let's be clear about the things that jump to our mind. We're not limiting our guidance here to just these, but these are the ones that for some people might, and this is based on conversations I've had in the field recently, some people don't think of these things necessarily as ineffective or wrong. They think of them as useful or helpful or collaborative or modern or multitasking-ish or social media-ish or, hey, I was tweeting. I don't care whether you were tweeting or not.
Yeah. And they're all nuts, by the way. Those are all nutty thoughts. But
so, folks, you've probably heard or seen them all, and maybe even you've seen them all in one day of meetings or even in just one meeting alone. They're prevalent, they're destructive, and they're not hard to eliminate. And this is what management does. It doesn't accept that. It says, I could do a small thing, I could make a big difference, and for the rest of our meeting time, we could eliminate this problem. Okay, and this is no particular order. Sidebars, people talking to one another privately rather than listening. And the whole listening thing is a really interesting one for me. I'm amazed this. Mike knows, I've talked to him about this before. We do a weekly operations call at 6 a.m. Pacific time on Friday mornings, and we have video to everyone. And we're talking about an idea for a new product. And while I'm talking about it, I'm noticing that two of the people on the call, their eyes are going back and forth to various different places on their screen. And you can clearly see by the tension in their arms that they're typing or that they're clicking with their mouse. Like, dude, you're not listening right now. You're doing a Google search. Maybe you think your Google search will be helpful for the discussion, but that's not what we're doing. And so doing something other than talking or listening is ineffective meeting behavior. Whenever anyone is doing anything other than listening in a meeting, they're not listening. And the whole point of meetings is listening, one person at a time and multiple people listening. That is the point of getting together. If we're going to spend money and if we're going to take time, we might as well have a good reason, okay? Anyone who says they're listening or multitasking when they're doing something else other than listening is just doing two things poorly. And look, guys, of course, some jerk will say, oh, I was listening, I'm multitasking. And they say, I can repeat what was just said. He just said this and she just said this. Guys, anybody can do that. We all have short-term auditory memory and recall. The issue isn't really the hearing of words. It's thinking about what they're hearing and drawing conclusions and extrapolating and preparing questions to ask.
And participating.
And right? Participating and creating new ideas by piggybacking. I mean, if I were in a bad mood, and I certainly can always be a better manager, but if I'm in a bad mood and I'm running a meeting and there's a ground rule about not being on your phone, and I say to someone, let's say it's Mike, you know, it wouldn't be him, but if I said, hey, Mike, could you get off your phone, please? Thanks. And then gesture right back toward the speaker. And he says, oh, I can hear what you're saying. You know, if I were in a bad mood, I'd say, dude, don't embarrass yourself. Just stick to the ground rules. Okay. Having a good reason for breaking the ground rules is not a good reason to break the ground rules. Having a good reason is not the same thing as it being a good reason. Next, using their smartphone. This has become so prevalent, it's acceptable. And we already alluded to the fruit bowl. People who are really busy and important don't spend a bunch of time on their phone in meetings. Now, if you say, oh, wait, I saw an executive doing it. I promise you, dudes, that guy, that gal is not respected by their peers. They say, oh, I'm a really energetic person. I've got all these ideas, everything else. And they're impossible to work for. They don't follow their calendar. They want free time to do whatever they want to do. They can't be pinned down to make a decision on strategy because strategy is so old news, man. You got to be aware of everything. You got to be in the Twitterverse and so on. Give me a break. Grow up. People aren't using if they're on their smartphone. Laptops, same, or people aren't listening. If somebody's using their laptop, it's even worse than a smartphone.
Yeah, but okay, but dude, I'm taking notes about the meeting on my laptop.
Yeah, no.
I couldn't let this go by without giving you an opportunity.
Yeah, there's a great story about Eric Schmidt, who's the CEO at Google, and some new guy was in a meeting, and he was on his laptop, and the guy next to him said, hey, by the way, we don't type in meetings here. The CEO doesn't like it. And the guy's like, well, so I got to type meetings. And the CEO, Eric Schmidt, was sitting on the other side of the guy and just gently closed the laptop lid on the guy's hands. Like, and by the way, you may be interested in multitasking, but I'm interested in this corporation being effective. And we're not going to do that. I don't know anybody who allows it. Now, there are some CEOs who will say, I have my admin here and he's typing notes. Okay, fine. But not somebody in a room. And the data on note-taking is really irrefutable. If you have a doubt about it, please, before you send me an email and tell me I'm a dinosaur, which I'm not, before you send me a mail, do some Google searches on handwritten note-taking versus typewritten note-takings. And I will refuse any data that you have gleaned by a survey from a survey that was sponsored by Dell, just so you know. Interrupting people. Okay, this violates the one at a time rule. Yeah, there are times when it's okay, a brief interjection. Hey, did you just say X or Y? Okay, because all rules, all ground rules, allow some limited exceptions. But the rejoinder, when you were to say something like, I'm just really energetic and want to have a healthy debate, is a red herring from meeting behavior. Because first of all, this isn't a debate, okay? We're not trying to debate things. We're discussing different ideas. Debates imply a winner and a loser. Debates don't suggest that it's 60% of A's idea and 40% of B's idea is the right way to go, which often happens in business discussions. It's a collaboration, and debates are not collaborations. And second, interruptions by some shut down the inclusion of other people. There are people who are high D's and high I's who feel very comfortable interrupting. And that causes high S's and high C's, the more reserved people, to sit back and wait and say, I'm not going to talk. Even the people who are talking are constantly getting interrupted. I want to take my time and make my point, and I'm not going to do it if I keep getting interrupting. I'm not saying either behavior is effective, but the one thing you can reduce more quickly than the other is interruptions. And those people who interrupt really will and can modify their behavior. Not sticking to the agenda. Okay, people running over the allowed time for an agenda item, which of course, brings up the fact that agendas aren't lists of topics. They're a schedule. Each item has a start time and a stop time. And each item's stop time, by the way, is the start time of the next agenda item. You don't list durations. You just list the start time. Don't let agenda items run long. You can wrap them up by saying, okay, we're running out of time here. Let's make a decision and move on.
Now that we have a common understanding of some of the behaviors, not all of them, but some of the behaviors, particularly the ones we see most often, what those ineffective meeting behaviors are, what's the best way then to deal with them? For example, if I see somebody using their smartphone or, you know, typing on their laptop.
Yeah. So whether you have ground rules or not, you can still address it. When two people are having a sidebar, ask them to stop. It sounds like this. Janice, if we could, let's just have one person talking at a time. Thanks. Okay. When someone interrupts, ask them not to. Carmelo, let's let folks finish. Okay. Go ahead, Terry. Okay. When someone goes over their time limit, interrupt them. Move on to the next agenda item. Sam, sorry, I'm going to wrap this up. We'll come back to this if we have time, I promise. Next item is budget changes. Joe, you're up. Okay. When someone is on their phone or laptop, tell them to stop. Frank, would you please put down your phone, close your laptop? Actually, let me do this as two parts because I think that's just better. Frank, would you please put down your phone and join the discussion? Thanks. Or, hey, Frank, would you close your laptop and join the discussion? Appreciate it. Thanks. You can also just refer to the ground rules. If it's very clear what something is doing, what somebody is doing, I could just say, Jim, ground rules. Okay, back on. The attendee will know what you're referring to. Or if they don't, they can look up at a posting of the ground rules on the wall. And if I said that to somebody and they had been on my team for a year and they said, what? I'm like, dude, don't want me. Let's keep going. Mary, keep talking. Now, you'll notice some things here, guys. We do mention the offender by name. If you don't, the offender, the person who's doing whatever they're supposed to not be doing, is going to rationalize that you're talking about somebody else. Okay, we don't use shotgun negative comments, okay? And the reason why is because the reason they broke the ground rules to begin with, or even lacking ground rules, is because they were justified in doing what they know is not effective. Now, there's an exception to this, and I'll come back to it. I want to be clear. 90% of the time, people know that what they're doing is not effective. They wouldn't like it if somebody else was doing it to them when they were talking. And so they know. But they don't feel bound by those strictures. Therefore, saying to everyone, hey, let's watch the sidebars. The person who doesn't feel bound to that sidebar rule because what he's saying to his buddy is so important, that message is not going to get through to them. And the people who do follow the ground rules have just been painted unfairly with a brush that should have been directed specifically at one person. So we absolutely mention the person. We also say thanks in order to, I got to cover this. If you're managing young people, inexperienced professionals, you have a special burden, okay? And this is, we could have a half hour discussion about millennials, but we won't. I think management has gotten to the point, guys, where now, no offense, millennials, I love you, millennials are becoming the butt of a joke about how managers can't seem to manage millennials, and there's enough consultants out there who can charge $20,000 an hour to teach companies about how to manage millennials because we're just paying attention to people's age right now. But it has nothing to do with when they were born or how old they are. It has to do with how inexperienced they are. And it's nothing against millennials because I was that inexperienced when I was 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, and less so when I was 30. But still, compared to now, I was very inexperienced. So if you have somebody who's relatively inexperienced, or and that often coincides with somebody who's relatively young, you're going to end up being a teacher. And if they come into the meeting and they're on a laptop or they're on their phone or they're texting or laughing or tweeting or whatever, all of which is completely okay behavior in most other contexts other than a meeting, you have an obligation to teach them. It is wrong to assume that that young person has a new norm. OK, okay? Because they're only one, and your company has 20 or 50 or 100 or 10,000 people working there. And this is pretty settled stuff. You're not going to have effective meetings if you're allowing people to be on their phones and on their laptops and have sidebars and so on. This is just the subordination of the individual to the value of the organization. Yes, there are limits on freedom. And I just read somewhere recently that Viktor Frankl, the famous Austrian doctor who was imprisoned in World War II in a concentration camp, said, "There is a Statue of Liberty on the eastern coast of the United States, and there ought to be a Statue of Responsibility as its handmaiden, as its other half, on the western coast of the United States." So it's not that millennials are doing this. It just so happened that they're coming into the workforce at a time when they grew up with these tools, and no one has said to them, you can't do that. Colleges are doing it now. And so somebody has to. And so ground rules make it easier for you to have that conversation. And even if you don't have ground rules, you still need to say something. And maybe they're immature enough. No offense, millennials. I was immature too when I was 22. It is what immaturity is. The lack of emotional and rational ability to comprehend the situation you're in and choose the right choices. That's what maturity and immaturity are, respectively. And so when we mention the person by name, we want them to understand we're talking to them, but we also understand there's some tension. And so we say thanks. And as well, the thing to go, well, I'm going to go right in the next one, Mike, because it makes so much sense. We don't want to interrupt the meeting. We're quick and we're polite. Okay. We're going to easily address this, quickly address the problem, and it's not going to become a bigger problem. You're going to briefly say something and move on. Don't stop the meeting to address the ineffective behavior. Don't say, "Hold on, Carla. Frank is on his phone." Okay? Don't stop Carla talking. That interrupts the flow of the meeting, which is what Frank, the guy who's having the sidebar on his phone, is doing. You stop in the meeting, increases attention, puts a spotlight on Frank, increases the chances that you're going to get pushback. If you can make eye contact with the offender before you have to say something that everybody else can hear and can mime what you want, like closing a phone or putting the phone down or closing a laptop. If I had video, you'd see me in my Dodgers sweatshirt, by the way, closing a laptop with my hand. Please do so. Okay. Now, don't get up out of your chair, walk into the line of sight of the person and do that. I'm saying if, in fact, they're looking at you or you catch their eye, you could put your finger to your lips. Or if they're sitting right next to you, you could put your hand on their wrist as a way of saying, I'm aware that you're engaged in behavior and you ought to be aware of behavior that you're doing that's not helpful. Don't wait for an answer. In addition to not interrupting Carla, if Frank's having a sidebar, don't wait for an answer. Your question is rhetorical if you ask a question as opposed to simply saying, hey, cool it with a sidebar, Frank, or hey, thanks for focusing here. Or if you say, would you please focus on the message here, then don't expect a response. Look only briefly at the person. In fact, I've done it before where I'm looking at Carla, the person who's talking, and I turn my head a little bit toward Frank while still looking at Carla and said, hey, Frank, would you mind joining the rest of the group and then going right back? And I don't turn my entire body toward Frank. I don't square my shoulders to where Frank is, especially if I'd have to turn my body away from the presenter. I may turn my head a little bit, but then when I'm done, I gesture back toward the speaker. Okay. And you can do this if you are the leader or if you're the facilitator. You probably wouldn't engage in those body language behaviors if you were just one of the members of the meeting, but you could. I just probably wouldn't. So again, don't wait for an answer from Frank. It's also possible that the offender in their immaturity will attempt to justify their actions. They'll make the offended face, which is dumb. It's like, as I like to tell people, you insulted or you offended me. John Wayne would say, nope, I didn't. Because if I've insulted you or offended you, you'll know it. I'm essentially asking you to agree to reasonable behaviors to help us get done with a meeting that's expensive, time consuming, and yet can be valuable if we do the right things, because we all don't get to do all the things we want to do. Part of maturity is choosing not to do what you want to do, but choosing the right choice. And over time, discovering that what you want to do is the right thing to do. That is professional development right there. Right.
And to be clear, you're not suggesting that you have that conversation with this person right now. You're thinking of this in your head after the person justifies it, right?
Yes. Oh, sure. Yeah. Suppose the person says, you say, "Hey, Frank, would you close your laptop?" And he says, "I'm just getting ready for my brief." Don't turn and face him. Just ignore that. Okay. Or, "I was checking on something." Yeah. You probably were on your phone or laptop, or you're going through your papers or something. You were checking on something. Fine. And I was very polite. I'm not trying to make it about you. I ask you to change your behavior to something that, hopefully, if we've done ground rules, have already been established. And now you're basically showing yourself to be insecure and thin-skinned. You're suggesting that the reason why you did something ineffective makes the thing tolerable. But the organization doesn't tolerate ineffective behavior, even if there's a good reason for it. Okay? Over time, we begin to be intolerant to that person who is ineffective with good reasons. Or, "I was just checking what you asked me to check on." Again, just ignore them. All of the responses we've mentioned are lame. Smile and just encourage whatever else is happening to continue. Keep going, Sarah. No worries. Brian, keep going. Go on. As I'm doing this, if I were on video, I'm seeing Frank to my right, and I've turned my head a little bit, but I'm still facing the speaker. And then as Brian or Frank defend themselves, I'm gesturing with my left hand toward the speaker, rotating my wrist to suggest, "Okay, please keep going."
All the things you talked about, your body language, turning your shoulders and just turn your head slightly, et cetera, while focused on Frank, are all body language to signify that I'm not having a conversation with you.
Exactly. I'm not going to turn and face you. I'm trying to stop what you're doing, and you're trying to make the discussion about you. And this is my meeting. If I'm the leader or the facilitator, what you're doing is wrong. I get to decide that. It's not a debate. I know this scares some people, but it's not a debate. I get to decide. I allowed you to put in the ground rules, and you signed up for the ground rules. And I got to tell you, if you're not willing to sign up for the ground rules in my meeting, you need to find some other manager to work for in this organization. And by the way, that you won't get a good review from me. And at that point, our relationship will be perhaps irreparably damaged. Now, the last thing then is all of this, all of these simple behaviors, which are quick and polite, facilitated enormously by ground rules, are great things to do, but they don't eliminate the possibility that you could give feedback later too. Okay. We don't give feedback in the meeting, of course, because we would then be violating the rule about feedback as being for the private use of one person. We don't give feedback in front of other people. So we just address it quickly and privately, politely at the time. And the reason why is because delaying that feedback delays the value of the meeting. So we can't give feedback during the meeting, but again, we can address it. But we could say, "Hey, can I give some feedback?" Frank says, "Sure." He says, "Frank, when you're on the phone, you're not following the ground rules and you're not fully engaged. Can you work on that for me?" Or, "Hey, Sam, can I give some feedback? When you run long on your agenda item, it keeps us from finishing on time. Can you work on that?" Or, "Hey, can I give you some feedback? Carmelo, when you interrupt, it shuts down discussion. Can you please try to do better there?" Or, "Can I give you some feedback? Janice, when you talk to Tara, it's distracting to others. Please try to work hard on that." Okay. Those are all just the behaviors. And by the way, they're brief. It's no big deal. We're not making a big deal out of it. We're reinforcing the point that we made. And really, the behavior we're engaging in meeting is about the meeting and not about the individual. The feedback now is about the individual's behaviors.
You just gave some examples of giving feedback about the behavior itself. But what about the person who gives excuses during the meeting? Is that worthy of feedback as well? I'm asking. I'm thinking it is.
Yeah. Frank's on his phone. Okay. And I mentioned something to him. I say, "Hey, Frank, can you please join us? Thanks." And he defends himself by saying, "I was just looking up the data you asked me to look for." And he has a bit of a tone in his voice, right? Okay, fine. So we're in a one-on-one 2 days later. I say, "Hey, I can give you some feedback about the meeting." He says, "Sure." I said, "You know, when you're on your phone, it takes away from the collaboration we're trying to do in the meeting. Can you work on that? Yeah, sure. Okay. And can you give some more feedback? Sure. When you defend your actions, when we have a ground rule, particularly and you're breaking the ground rule, you're taking away even more from the meeting. When you try to tell me why, it just sounds selfish. Can you work on that? Okay. Another way is you could say, when you say you're working on something I ask you to do, it sounds like you're not taking responsibility for your actions. Can you think about that for me? That's all. So feedback is still on the plate for when you have private time. You may choose to do it walking out of the room. If it's convenient, if you're there alone with Frank afterwards, you could say, hey, before you go, can I give some feedback? You know, when you're on your laptop, it takes away from the meeting.
Yeah.
Please work on that. And I would just say one other thing. We do that at the end of the meeting. If Frank does this two or three times, and now I'm jumping to feedback, but we don't say when you repeatedly interrupt, okay? Because now we're talking about multiple instances over two or three meetings. Don't do that. Just mention the one. People will get it, and you don't have to overdo it. But the combination of addressing it in the meeting so that the meeting continues to go well and the disruption, the distraction, the issue, the problem doesn't fester or continue or tear down the team because it appears Frank or Janice or whomever is above the rules, you still want to do that, but you can also address the behavior later.
Yeah, I just want to add another thing here. You've said it several times. I just want to make sure people get it. You know, your tone when you do this is terribly important. If you go after somebody in a meeting, and what Mark has described is not going after somebody, just asking them to stop engaging in a behavior that's against the ground rules. But as soon as you put a tonality in it or a look in your face, you know, some people are quick to get defensive and they're going to get defensive and they're going to feel attacked. And you're not trying to attack them. You're just reminding them of the ground rule. And if you do it with a tonality of pleasantness and kindness and not make a big deal of it, most people will go, oh, yeah, you're right. Absolutely. I'm sorry. That's what you want, right?
Yeah. A lot of the pushback people give is because managers think when they're delivering negative, there has to be some fear. There has to be some power, some hidden or obvious threat and so on. And the pushback managers get is in some degree, and in some cases to a large degree, a function of how we deliver it. And the more polite you are, and of course, the better relationship you have, the easier this will go.
Yeah. I don't know if you agree with this, but in my head, in these circumstances, I remind myself that as it's happening during the meeting, I'm not trying to teach them. Right. I'm not trying to punish them. I'm not trying to develop them. I'm just trying to get them to stop the behavior.
It's
right
about
now.
The meeting. It's not about them. Exactly.
Yeah, and if you have in your head, you're trying to teach them then you get yourself in trouble, I think.
I would also say this, taking a different perspective on this, Mike. In the moment, you may be frustrated. It may be feeling significant. It may be annoying you at the time so much you're distracted from what Carla or Brian is saying. Fine. Now, zoom out till the end of the year. This is one instance, okay? Are you really justified in getting annoyed so much so that you'll remember that annoyance 8 months from now? And that's why you can deliver this in a casual way, because any one instance, unless we're all going to say we're perfect, any one instance of any behavior that's ineffective is trivial. It's worthless. It's one drop in the ocean. And so making it into anything more than it is increases the chances you get pushback, decreases the chances you're building your relationship, all the things that hurt much more long term. And that's why, even for somebody like me who can be pretty direct, I've learned that it's just better just to be chilled out about it. It works better. Regardless of what the intent is or anything else, it works better. And if it's stupid, but it works, it's not stupid.
There you go.
Yeah. So look, guys, meetings matter and they can be great really easily. And once you get great meetings, you'll never go back. Even if you haven't set up ground rules, you can still politely address behaviors in meetings if those behaviors aren't effective or efficient in some way. You know what they are. It's your meeting. Say something quickly and politely and move on. And you'll discover that those behaviors will go away.
Awesome, my friend. Thank you.
You bet, partner. Anytime.
We'll see you later. Thanks, everyone. We'll see you next week. In the meantime, have a great one. so long. If you enjoyed this podcast and you want the how-tos of management wherever you are, check out the free Manager Tools mobile app. It's available on both iOS and Android devices. Go to the Apple Store or the Google Play Store and download the Manager Tools app. Just search for Manager Tools in the respective store, or go to the Manager Tools website, www.manager-tools.com, and you'll find the links on the bottom of the homepage. Once you've installed the Manager Tools app, you'll have access to all the Manager Tools and Career Tools shows anytime, anywhere you want. With easy searching of podcasts by category, using the map of the universe, or using built-in search functions, it couldn't be easier. Additionally, if you're Manager Tools personal licensee, you'll have easy access to all the show notes right from the app whenever you want. Go to the App Store and download the Manager Tools mobile app. You'll be happy you did.